we started this morning. I said this morning that usually the evening message is shorter. The only problem that I had this afternoon is the Lord gave me some more stuff to add to it. So I added some things to it. So we'll see. We may be short, we may not. I don't think we'll be that long here tonight. Let me read verses 46 and following, Mark chapter 10. The story is very familiar about blind Bartimaeus. And it came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This morning, the first 2 points of the message was what? Do you remember? Did you write it down? Number one was what? Mercy is needed. Mercy is needed, not just for Bartimaeus, but for all human beings everywhere. Mercy is needed. Second thing was? Mercy asked. Bartimaeus asked for mercy. That's something that we as humans need to do also when it comes to salvation. We need to ask for God's mercy. I've said this many times to people. Christ doesn't just save you automatically without you asking. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So you have to call. You have to ask the Lord to save you. That's mercy asked. Bartimaeus asked, and of course the Lord responded. The other two tonight that we're going to look at is number three, the mercy that was offered. The mercy that was offered. Jesus offered mercy to Bartimaeus. There in verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. What really spoke to my heart was when he heard Bartimaeus calling out, "Lord, have mercy," Jesus stopped everything that he was doing. He stopped walking. He stopped talking. He stopped ministering. He stopped just to answer the call of this one individual. So many times we see in the Gospels that the Lord would go out of his way to minister to one person. The great example is in Mark chapter 5, where he traveled across the Sea of Galilee to go and to heal that demonic man, the man that had thousands of devils in him. And then after he saves this individual and casts out the devils, he gets back into the boat and goes back to where he started from. So obviously it was a trip that he just made just for that one person. He made that special trip through Samaria to go and minister to the Samaritan woman in John 4. And ministered to her and saved her soul. So often Jesus just went to minister to just one person. Here in Jericho, we see that at least that we know of, three people got saved in Jericho. Not a vast number that we know of, but again, he goes out of his way to save anybody. He went out of his way from heaven to earth to save you and I. And when you call, or when you have called in the past for the Lord to save you, he stopped what he was doing and he listened to you and he responded to your prayer. And so the mercy is offered. Bartimaeus was blind. I assume he was completely 100% blind. Of course, blindness is the inability to be able to have light penetrate the eyes. Maybe in a very, very, very dark room, you walk into a dark room, the light's off. You really, technically, you're blind for that amount of time that there's no light. Your eyes are open, but you can't see anything, right? In a darkened room or at nighttime, you can't see where you're going. So you need the light in order to allow you to be able to see. That's the only way people can see, is light penetrating the eyes. Blindness is associated with the lack of light. Something is hindering the amount of light that is going into the eye. That's what causes the blindness. And so the light is not being able to penetrate and get into your eye. When you walk into that dark room with no light, in essence, you are temporarily blinded until you flip the light on or have some kind of a light there. When light rays reflect off an object, and enter the eyes through the cornea, the transparent outer covering of the eye, you can see then, only then can you see the object. The cornea bends or reflects the rays that pass through the round hole of the pupil. The iris, the colored portion of the eye that surrounds the pupil, opens and closes, making the pupil bigger or smaller. This regulates the amount of light passing through. Isn't evolution wonderful? Evolution did all of that for us, designed that eye for us, huh? Isn't that ridiculous that people actually believe that a sunspot on the face that brought the eyes into being? That's what evolution says anyway. It's from some sunspot somewhere. How in the world did it get exactly right across the, you know, perfect? Evolution could not have done anything close to the way our body is. Especially the amazing eye. What a blessing the Lord has given us, the ability to see. And again, Jesus just stood still. He stopped. He heard his name call, and he stopped. And he listened. It's a blessing that when you call out to the Lord, even after salvation, as a Christian, when you call out to the Lord, he stops. And he listens. And he listens to the need that you have. And then he responds accordingly. He just stood still. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Acts 26 and verse 18. Acts 26 and verse 18. While you're turning there, I'm going to read verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Look at verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So this opening of the eyes, now we're talking spiritually here, not a physical thing, but we're talking spiritually. That's what Jesus was going to do with Bartimaeus. He was going to do two things. He was going to heal him physically and repair his eyes in a miracle just like that, to allow the light to penetrate so he could see clearly. But also he is going to open his eyes spiritually so he can see things spiritually. The Bible equates us there when we think of light, from darkness to light. And then look at the next phrase there in verse 18. And from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So darkness is associated with the power of Satan. It's associated with sin. Darkness is. It's associated with evil. It's associated with the failure to do exactly what God would have. That's what we see in the Bible when we read that. And so he called Bartimaeus. What a blessing. Go back to our text there. He stops. He listens. He hears. And when in verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man. Now, first, a few minutes ago, they were charging the blind man, hey, just be quiet. Leave Jesus alone. He's busy. He's got a lot of things on his mind. You just forget it. But Bartimaeus would not just forget it. Bartimaeus calls out, cries out again. And again, we see that whoever these people were, it could have been the apostles. They had done that many times. They tried to stifle some of the ministry that Jesus was going to do. And yet Jesus still was able to save this man in spite of what they were doing or what they were saying. And so he stops in verse 49, and then he calls the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, I calleth thee. And it's interesting, in verse 50, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. That's his outer garment, the thing. He didn't want to have anything hindering him coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing that he wanted to hinder that. So he calls Bartimaeus. That, to me, is a saving call. It's a call of salvation. He's calling Bartimaeus to himself, And that's how you and I get saved. We hear the call. We hear the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts and souls from sin or about sin. And so then we come to Jesus Christ. But he's coming to us. He's calling us. He wants to save our souls. And that's what he's doing with Bartimaeus. It's a saving call. We just go over to Luke chapter 19. Again, as we looked at this morning with Zacchaeus and Luke 19. Again, Jesus is there in Jericho, same time that this is happening and Bartimaeus is being saved. He's also going through Jericho at this time, and he saves Zacchaeus. But in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at that house. We see the story of Zacchaeus, again, the same call, very similar to the call. Now, Zacchaeus is up in a tree. He's so short. I don't know how short he was. He was of small stature. He was so short he couldn't see over all of the crowd, so he climbs up into a tree. That got Jesus' attention to see that Zacchaeus was serious about wanting to meet Jesus Christ. As serious as Bartimaeus was about wanting to meet Jesus Christ and get the mercy that he needed, Zacchaeus needed that same kind of mercy. And so we see it's a gracious call. When the Lord goes by and stops and sees Zacchaeus there, he simply makes a gracious call and he calls out to Zacchaeus. Not only is it a gracious call, but it's a personal call. He mentions him by name, doesn't he? Zacchaeus. So that gets Zacchaeus' attention even more when he hears his name being called by Jesus himself. That's a personal call. Every human being that gets saved gets a personal call from God. It's personal. The Holy Spirit is convicting. God is drawing. Jesus Christ is there to save. It's a personal call. You answered a personal call when you got saved. It was personal for you. Now, out of all of the people in the entire world, you got a personal call from God Almighty. Think about that. Your cell phone didn't ring. The telephone didn't ring. You didn't get an email. You didn't get a special text message from God. You got a personalized call from God Almighty to save your soul. It was not only that, but with Zacchaeus, it was an urgent call. What does he say to Zacchaeus? Make haste. You know what that means? Get down now. Jump. I think Zacchaeus jumped out of the tree. He grabbed that branch and he swung down and he got down immediately. But Jesus made that specific statement when he said, make haste. It's an urgent call. Salvation is always urgent. I reiterated that this morning. You cannot put off salvation. You cannot put it off. You can't say, well, I'll get saved next week. I'll get saved next year. I'll get saved when I get older. It's an urgent call. It's a call for right now. It's a personalized call. It's a gracious call. It's an urgent call. But then he says, come down. Make haste and come down. That is a humbling call. So Zacchaeus, remember his position. Zacchaeus was a man of prominence. He was very rich. He oversaw other publicans or tax collectors. He worked for Rome. And he was a Jew that worked for Rome. And so he was despised by the Jewish people around him. But he had a very, very lucrative job by collecting these taxes. Now, as a tax collector that oversaw other tax collectors, he not only had his own income by doing that, but he also got a percentage of the other publicans that were under him. It was like a pyramid scheme, you know. He would say, all right, you want to be under me? Okay, you're under me, but I want, 5%, 10% of all the money that you bring in, and I'm going to be checking on you. So he was lucrative in his job. But when Jesus said, come down, he was asking Zacchaeus not only to come down out of the tree, but I think it was a humbling call. And then the affectionate call is, I want to abide with you. We see that in that verse. I must abide at thy house, an individual place. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come and visit you today. What an affectionate call. So it's a gracious call. It's a personal call. It's an urgent call. It's a humbling call. It's an affectionate call with Zacchaeus. And so we see here in Mark 10, we'll go back to our text, and it was very similar. When he stops, he calls Bartimaeus over. And he says unto him there in verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him. So he's talking directly to Bartimaeus. In verse 51, this is where he offers the possibility of whatever it is that Bartimaeus wanted. He gives this offer. He says these words in Mark 10:51. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Here's the offer. Bartimaeus, what would you like? Now, did Jesus know that he was blind? I believe he knew it. He obviously knew that Bartimaeus was blind. Jesus, again, still, even though he's in his human body, he still was God. He still had the ability to do amazing things, to calm the storm, to heal the blind, to heal the deaf, to heal the leper. He was able to do some amazing things, to raise the dead to life. He knew that Bartimaeus was blind, and I think that Jesus even knew that Bartimaeus wanted to receive his eyesight. He was poor. The blindness had caused him to become poor, I'm sure. And so, but he gives this offer. He says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus just simply wanted Bartimaeus to acknowledge his need. That's all it was. Jesus wanted to hear it from Bartimaeus' lips himself. It's like when we get saved, we come to the Lord, we admit to him that we are sinners. Does he know that we're sinners? Of course he knows we're sinners. But we make that admission to the point where that's a humbling thing. We humble ourselves and we admit the fact that we are sinners. And we tell the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need you to save me. Lord, I believe in your death, your burial, your resurrection. I believe that you shed your blood for me. And then we call out to the Lord and we ask him to save us. That is something that we humbly do. The proud says, I don't need to call on Jesus. I don't need to call on God. I just believe that he's going to automatically save me just because of who I am. No, that's not the case. That'll never happen. And so he offers. He gives this mercy. The Lord offers, gives the call to Bartimaeus. He just wanted Bartimaeus to acknowledge his need. And he gets the response in verse 51. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And then the last thing, the fourth thing here is the mercy enjoyed. The mercy is offered. He just offered it to him. And now we see in verse 52, the mercy is enjoyed. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What did he do? He believed. Jesus makes the statement, thy faith hath made thee whole. It took faith for Bartimaeus to ask Jesus to do what he wanted him to do. It took faith. Bartimaeus was putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, Bartimaeus was trusting the Lord to give him his eyesight. But what he did, he got two things that day. He got his physical eyesight. He was able to see. But secondly, his spiritual eyesight was healed also. And he was given the ability to follow the Lord. Saved people are to follow the Lord. That's the important message here. He believed, thy faith hath made thee whole. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. It's our faith in God. It's our faith in his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's our faith in the gospel message. It's putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you can't save yourself. Some humans think that they can save themselves. Some people think that their money or their prominence or their whatever, their position in life is just going to save them. That's not the case. We have to humble ourselves and trust Jesus Christ. And so this mercy that the Lord offered him is now going to be enjoyed by this man that received not only his physical sight, but he has received a whole new life. It's a spiritual life. He received. He was given physical sight, but he was also given spiritual sight. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1:12. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Many times, you know, we use different phrases or phraseology when it comes to salvation. We talk about receiving Jesus Christ, and some people say, well, you don't receive him, he receives you. Well, the Bible says there in verse 12 of John 1, but as many as received him. You have to receive Jesus Christ. It's part of you being saved. You are receiving him, and he is receiving you. He's taken you into his family. You become part of his family, but you're receiving what he has done for you on the cross. That's what you're receiving. You're receiving his death, his burial, and his resurrection, right? You're receiving that. You're believing that. You're wanting it. Bartimaeus was receiving from Jesus Christ what Jesus Christ could offer him. And that's what you and I do. And then we see, not only did he receive his sight, he followed. He followed. I've underlined that little last phrase there in verse 52, and follow Jesus in the way. Did you notice that Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole? Go thy way. In other words, you're good. You're healed. You've got your eyesight. You're spiritually taken care of. But what does Bartimaeus do? He doesn't just go off, running off. He follows Jesus in the way. He follows Jesus in his way. He's following Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you that Bartimaeus, this made his day. To be blind physically and also be blind spiritually, to receive physical eyesight, but now all of a sudden he's born again. And now he's part of the family of God. He realizes what Jesus had done for him. Not just giving him this physical eyesight that now is going to allow him to be able to see the things that he's been missing out on, but also to be able to see things that he's been missing out on spiritually. And so the immediate thing is he goes and follows him. The immediate thing that you and I are to do after salvation is what? Follow the Lord. Follow him. Follow his word. Follow his way. Follow his will. That's what we are to be doing as Christians. The question today is, how well are you following? I guess the real question is, are you following? Or are you going your own way, doing your own thing? You know, following your own little dreams of life. I got my dreams in life I got to live. We are to be following the Lord. Wherever he leads us, we are to follow him. His love for Christ constrains him to follow Jesus Christ. You will follow the Lord as you love the Lord. The more you love them, the more you follow them. The less you love them, the less you'll follow. It's the way it works. And so he's following Jesus Christ. His back now is turned. Remember, Jesus is leaving Jericho and going to Jerusalem. So Bartimaeus, since the Bible says he followed Jesus in the way, Bartimaeus has turned his back on Jericho, which is the cursed city. He no longer wants to be part of the cursed city. He wants to follow Jesus Christ in the way. He wants to be blessed by the Lord. He wants to be blessed by Jesus Christ. And so he's turning his back on that place that is cursed. We're to turn our back on the world. Not to be part of it. Not to engage within all of the worldliness that we see around us. We're supposed to turn our back on these things also as we follow the Lord. Following Christ is evidence of salvation. I'll say it one more time. Following Christ is evidence of salvation. If you're not following the Lord, the question is where do you stand spiritually? If you're following your own ways and whims and ideas and just doing your own thing, you need to check out your spiritual condition. Because following Christ is evidence of salvation. Also, the blind can't follow effectively. The only way a blind person could follow somebody else is you got to listen to the voice, you got to listen to the sounds, you got to be able to do it that way. But can't Bartimaeus now follow the Lord without any hindrances at all? There's nothing hindering him from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus could have run off and said, man, now I can get a good job and I can, you know, take care of my own self and I can do my own thing now. Now that I have eyesight, he could have said all of that. And by what the Lord said, when the Lord says, go thy way, he was almost saying, Bartimaeus, you're free to go. You're good. You're physically healed and spiritually healed. you can go your way. Bartimaeus decided on his own to follow Jesus Christ, to follow the Lord. He made that decision based upon what he wanted to do in his own life. And so he literally goes and follows the Lord. Look at Luke 8. Luke 8. Luke 8. In verse 1. Luke 8, 1. Luke 8, 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. What are they doing? They're following the Lord. Jesus had healed them physically, healed them spiritually, cast out the devils. What are they doing? They're following the Lord. They're going where he goes. They want to be where he is. They're following Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we ought to want to start following the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to want to spend time with him in his word. We ought to want to spend time with him in prayer. We ought to want to spend time in the house of God where he expects us to be. We ought to want to do the things that he wants us to do. If the Lord says, I want you to go here, we're to go there and do what he wants us to do. Amen. If he calls us to a mission field, if he calls us to go off and do something, we ought to want to do it without complaining, without questioning, just go. Bartimaeus made the decision on his own that he wanted to follow Jesus in the way. Nothing was going to stop him. He was so thrilled to be healed that it was the wonderful thing to do is to follow him in the way. And so mercy can be enjoyed. You can actually enjoy your Christian life. You can actually enjoy your Christian life. Matter of fact, you ought to enjoy your Christian life. You ought to be the happiest person that you know. You ought to be the happiest person that you know. Because of what Jesus did for you, what Jesus is doing for you, what Jesus is going to do for you, how he's preparing you a place in heaven, how he's preparing things for you that you and I have no concept of really what it is. We read about it in the Bible, but our little feeble brains cannot really fathom what he has prepared for us. You ought to just enjoy the Christian life. It's not a life that, you know, it's full of troubles and trials and tribulations. We're going to have trials and tribulations and troubles. And we may face some serious persecution in the very near future. And that will be a test of our faith also. I don't agree with everything John MacArthur obviously stands for in California, but I appreciate the stand that he's taken right now. He said he is not going to give in to Caesar. He is going to literally have his church opened, and they're going to gather. They're going to have worship, even though the governor has said they can't do it. He says, we're still going to do it. I appreciate people like that. I appreciate men like that that are saying, we're going to have church, and we're going to do what's right regardless. Listen, he may be persecuted severely for this. We have no clue what's going to take place in the near future for us. But I'll tell you one thing, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth living the Christian life to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Is it Caesar or is it Christ? Is it the government going to tell us what to do, or are we going to allow God to tell us what to do? We may go through some persecution. Pastors, church members, churches may go through some persecution in the near future. I think this whole pandemic is a setup for the future, for control. And that's my own personal view on it. But I think it's getting down to the point where it's going to come down to a control thing. That's where it is right now. We're just seeing a little bit of it right now. We think we're seeing a lot of it, but I think this is just the tip of the iceberg as to what's coming. Mercy is needed. Mercy was asked. Mercy was offered, and mercy is enjoyed. the story of Bartimaeus. Hey, I'm done. It's not 7 o'clock yet. Told you. See, I didn't lie to you after all, did I? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, again for the message that we read here in the Scripture. Thank you, Lord. You did so much for these people. Lord, you healed them physically. You healed them spiritually. But, Lord, you've done so much for us. You have given us a home in heaven.